Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump hailed Elon Musk's order to government workers.
There was a lot of genius in sending it. We're trying to find out if people are working.
But the midnight deadline to justify jobs has passed. And this morning, there's mass confusion over just what'll happen next. CBS's Kristen Brown.
A new memo from OPM went out to all the federal agency heads, seemingly saying that federal workers should have responded to that original email and asking the agencies to track who didn't and didn't respond.
3 years after Russia invaded Ukraine, the U.S. voted on a U.N. resolution to take a neutral stance on the war and against others, blaming Moscow for starting it. U.S. Deputy Ambassador to the United Nations, Dorothy Shea.
This resolution puts us on the path to peace. It is a first step, but a crucial one.
Prayers at the Vatican St. Peter's Square for Pope Francis.
Dio vieni a salvarmi.
The 88-year-old is still hospitalized in critical condition with double pneumonia, but he was feeling well enough today to meet with the Vatican Secretary of State to approve new decrees for saints and set dates for their canonization. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
Doctors stress that Pope Francis is not out of the woods despite this encouraging news.
A cautionary tale for humans worried about being swapped out for AI. CBS's Vicky Barker says a bank in Singapore has big plans.
DBS plans to cut 4,000 jobs currently filled by temporary or contract workers over the next 3 years, replacing them with artificial intelligence. It also plans to create around 1,000 new AI-related jobs.
Turns out that asteroid jangling nerves here on Earth just last week isn't a concern anymore.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute, says asteroid 2024 YR4 is up to 300 feet wide.
Comes around this section of the solar system every few years or so.
After more calculations, NASA says the chances of it smashing into our planet in 2032 have fallen from 3% to nearly zero. Still, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson says we need to come up with a plan for future threats.
I don't want to be the laughingstock of the galaxy as being the only intelligent species with a space program that did not prevent its own extinction.
Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Would you be more likely to buy something at the supermarket if the label smelled yummy? Michael George.
A study by the Society of Neuroscience tested pairing odors with nutrition labels on drinks. The drink labels that had a scent were viewed more positively by consumers. The study's authors say this could be used to help people make healthier food choices.
S&P futures are down 5. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers are in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where over 300 of the top college football players will work out and interview with teams. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, doing interviews with the media, asked about free agents like defensive end Myles Garrett or wide receiver Davante Adams. A number of Wisconsin Badger players here, like Jack Nelson. College basketball, Wisconsin slipped from 11th to the 12th ranked team in the nation in the AP Top 25 after that loss in overtime. Time to Oregon. They play Washington tonight at the Kohl Center. Marquette now ranked 22nd after losing 4 of their last 6 games. They host Providence tomorrow night at 6. The Bucks on the road in Houston tonight against the Rockets. Baseball, Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins says he was taking live batting practice against Freddie Peralta when a fastball struck him just below the right knee, fracturing his shin bone. Perkins expects to be out until early May. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Awards season is in the home stretch, with the Oscars less than a week away. The 2025 Screen Actors Guild Awards are in the books and could give us some hints for next week's Oscar broadcast. Timothée Chalamet and Demi Moore took home the awards for Best Male and Female Actor in a Leading Role in the Feature Film category. Conclave won the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture. Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actress went to Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. Kieran Culkin won Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actor for his role in A Real Pain. Outstanding Performance by by a lead actor in a limited series went to Colin Farrell for his role in The Penguin, and Jessica Gunning won the same award for her role in Baby Reindeer. Switching to comedy, Jean Smart took home the Best Female Acting Award for Hacks, and Martin Short won in the same category for a male actor for Only Murders in the Building. Only Murders also won Best Ensemble in a Comedy. Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a drama series went to Shogun. Not a huge surprise there. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 44. Chance of rain and snow tonight, a low of 33. Rain likely on your Wednesday, with highs in the mid-40s. For Wednesday night, slight chance of rain and a low near 32. Thursday, partly sunny, 41. 44 and breezy Friday.
Right now, 35.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. I'm your guest host today. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the political editor here at Civic Media and the founder of a publication called The Recombobulation Area. And it's, for me, it's discombobulating in the morning. So I'm glad I'm here to recombobulate with you, Greg Bach. And we're joined by another segment by our guest, Dan Hagen of WJFW. Fellas, thanks for being here.
Of course.
Great to be here. A big recombobulation area fan. And now I know about that area of the Milwaukee airport, thanks to you.
That's right. And now I get a lot of people. This is one of my favorite things about running the recombobulation area, is that people actually take time out of their busy travel schedule to stand in front of that sign at the Milwaukee airport after they put their shoes back on and get through the security line and take a picture and send it to me. And I think that's pretty amazing.
That is nice.
Not me. I got TSA pre-check, so I'm fine. I don't have to wait for anybody. Plebeians.
That's why you're always so discombobulated, Greg.
It's true. It's very true. It's very true.
So, Mr. Hagen, you were telling us before the break here that you had a busy weekend. Interested to hear about it. Tell me what's going on.
That's right. The largest North American ski race takes place in northern Wisconsin. It's called the American Birkebeiner. It runs from Cable, Wisconsin to Hayward, Wisconsin. It's 50 kilometers. More than 10,000 skiers compete every single year, and that includes myself and my father. My father's done it 28 times.
Wow.
And I'm competing for my 11th over the weekend. Going into the race, I was 0-10 when it comes to competing against my dad. He's beat me every single time. He's a beast. I don't know if the athleticism skips a generation. I hope so. My kids will see. But anyway, I did it this weekend, and I did finally beat him. So I beat him by a good 15 minutes. Thank you. It took me a good 3 hours and 10 minutes to finish. And man, it's my favorite day of the year. And a lot of people there celebrating. So it was an absolutely... great weekend.
What's your top speed when you're just treading along there? Because you said you did it how? Wait, you did 50 kilometers in how long?
In 3 hours and 10 minutes. You know, that's like 34 miles, 32 miles.
Holy cow.
A lot of it is uphill. Not only is it the longest I ski.
Uphill both ways on the way to school. Is that, yeah.
Right. I mean, the thing is yeah, it's kind of, you definitely gain more elevation than you go down.
Sure.
But that's part of the challenge. But it's a huge historical thing up in northern Wisconsin. There's people who've done it 47 times, you know, so yeah. It really has a cult following.
I had a coworker who did it every year. Every year, he'd go, I'm going to do the Birkebeiner. I'm like, I don't know what those words mean. That just sounds like he just babbled out some syllables. He's like, okay, cool. But every year he'd come back, and within a week or two, he would have a framed his you know, penny, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
His numbers. Yeah, he framed them. He brought them to the office. And I'm like, wow, you're like decades older than me, and you're doing that every year. And he's like, and every year he'd say the same thing. That's my last one. I can't do this anymore. Right. And every year you go right back up and do it.
Well, that's part of the tradition for these things, yeah, right? Exactly. It's just saying that it's going to be your last one.
Did your father accept defeat gracefully, or was he, stolen or what?
Outwardly he did. Yeah. So he's 66. So it's about time I beat him. So I keep trying to tell him that, like, you did better than 99% of 66-year-olds who couldn't do this, right?
Yeah.
So how dare your son in the peak of his years beat you finally? So I think you're fine.
Well, congratulations on your victory, sir.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great race. Going to do it next year for sure. I'm aiming for 20. So once you do 20, you get a purple bib. And that's it, I guess. I don't...
Well,
that's it. You get a purple
bib. All right.
It's those types of like little memento type things that can be end up being like your most important thing that you own, though. Yeah. You know, it's like those types of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if you win a chili cook-off and you get that trophy, like that's your most prized possession. It's like something like that, you know. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. That was our guest, Dan Hagen, who is joining us to talk about his experience in the Birkebeiner. Coming up after the next break here, we're going to be joined by Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things that she has been up to and working on, and some of the stuff that's, you know, bouncing around the discourse here in the state of Wisconsin. So excited to talk to my friend Kate coming up after the next break here as well. Greg, did we have some weather reports to bring to the broadcast here?
I have two very important weather reports today. First of all, unfortunately, Brittany Merlot could not be here today, but she did send along her thoughts, her notes, and her ideas on the weather, and it goes like this. Highs today will hit the low to mid-40s, sunny, then overnight a wintry mix moves in, bringing rain, freezing rain, and some snow. Light ice accumulations are likely in central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley, possible statewide, though. So a slippery commute tomorrow morning, around 1 to 2 inches of snow could pile up near Marathon County area. So that is the Brittany Merlot forecast for today and tomorrow. But we also have Rob from Tigerton saying, good morning from Tigerton. We have clear skies and 33 degrees. Yesterday, Tigerton had a high of 53 degrees. And the snow cover really went down, got bare grounds in open areas. In the Tigerton area, logging trucks have been busy hauling logs out of the woods before weight limits go up on most county town roads in the rural area. And he also said, Here Comes the Sun is my all-time favorite Beatles song of all time. Thank you so much, Rob, for getting in touch with us. We love hearing from Rob in Tigerton, knowing the weather report, and good to know you're a great Beatles fan. So thanks so much, Rob, for reaching out.
And if you have very specific stories to share about the weather in your town, just like our friend Rob in Tigerton, you know, add it to the live stream. Send us a text. Yeah. Give us a call. 855-752-4842 is the line for that. We've got Dan Hagen from WJFW joining us for this segment. He was talking about his experience at the Birkebeiner. Dan, what else is going on in the Northwoods? Any big stories that you've been working on over the last few days here?
I may disappoint you with this. It's not really a big news story. However, I'm fearful of a lawsuit in front of my home because of the ice conditions. Ooh. Right? Is this a thing? This is my first winter as a homeowner. The idea is anyone could walk in front of my home where the sidewalk is really ice covered after yesterday's warm up and last night's freeze. Should I be fearful of my livelihood?
I would say get yourself to an Ace or a local hardware store, get yourself some deep freeze ice, lay it down. Pet friendly. Make sure it's pet friendly because people walking their dogs, you don't want the dogs looking up but salt it up now. Salt it up right now, because that way you salt it up, you're good to go. If someone slips and falls, you can be like, hey, I salted. I salted. But if you're not salting, then
yeah, the pet friendly salt is actually pretty important too. Because yeah. When I walk my dog around my neighborhood, there's one particular place in my neighborhood that puts more rock salt down than would ever possibly be needed. They put more in like one day than you would need for the whole winter.
Yeah.
And so I always, when I have to avoid that part of my neighborhood now when I'm walking my dog, because she will just have to hop around on two legs to, because it bothers her so much.
Yeah, you don't want, you want to make sure that when if it gets in those pads, it can be very irritating. But yeah, Dan, I would say get yourself to a hardware store this morning. Get yourself some good pet-friendly salt. Get it down. Don't use too much. You only need like a cup or two.
Yeah. And
depending on how much sidewalk you have. But I would do that now versus later, just for your own peace of mind and for other people as well. You want to be a good neighbor, Dan.
Yeah, I suppose, but won't this, it'll salt and then it'll melt today and then the water will just wash away and then it'll come back. It's just a cycle.
Is that explanation going to hold up in court, Dan?
Uh-oh. you're going to travel up here, aren't you, Greg?
I'm today? Just here yes. as your advocate of better home living. That's what I am, my friend. That's what I am.
Okay. Tony on the live stream says salt or a lawyer, either works.
Well, I don't know a lawyer, so.
It's like, I guess it's going to have to be the salt then.
There you go. Right. There you go. I was figuring Dan was working on a story that says local anchor beats father at historic race.
Yeah, could you bring that into the WJFW broadcast at all to really rub it in?
I spent plenty of time. You know, it's funny when people come up to me, they always talk to me about the skiing, never like one of the stories. So I think it's good to intersperse some anecdotes in there, keep people interested.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So once again, after the break here, we're going to be joined by Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good. Very excited to be talking to her. It was actually a couple years ago that I got to know her a little bit because we were both working on certain projects related to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Nice.
And we both had our work promoted by none other than Julie Louis-Dreyfus. So, yeah.
Wow.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild.
I got famous people all over. I got Dan from the TV. I got Dan Hagen or Dan Schaefer on the radio, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus knows him. I'm star-studded. Yeah.
You know, do you guys know Seinfeld at all?
Not personally. He stopped calling me years ago.
Yeah. But you know, when we were talking about the purple,
can you see my eyes rolling on the live stream with that one, Greg? All right, sorry, Dan, continue.
But it made me think of a Seinfeld episode where Elaine is trying to get like a sub, and she has this punch card, and she's like going to be a captain sub, like if she gets all the subs, and
that's right.
It's like completely meaningless. But Elaine is one of the all-time great characters.
Whenever you can make a Seinfeld reference, I feel like you should do that. So. But Dan Hagen, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you coming by. Thanks for sharing your story about the Berkey, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Serenity now.
Fantastic, man. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Yep.
All right. And once again, we will be joined by Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good after the break here. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number to call or text is 855-752-4842. Also, join us on the live stream on YouTube and the platform formerly known as Twitter.com. it takes me so long to change to call something by its new name. I'm still calling it Miller Park. I'm still calling it Altera Coffee. Like it takes me a really long time. So I'm really not going to be calling it X anytime soon.
Wow, you're just digging deeper into grandpa old man. Like back in my day it was Altera Coffee and it was delicious.
And it was, Greg.
Okay. All right.
It was. All right. Stick with us here on Civic Media Mornings. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to join the conversation that we're having here on Civic Media Mornings, give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. And we are thrilled to be joined by our guest today. We have Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good joining us. Kate, thank you so much for joining us here on Civic Media Mornings.
Thank you for having me. Good morning. I was on with Dr. Lyerly a while ago, and it was very early, so this time I've had a cup of coffee, and I'm ready to go. Looking alive.
Are you like, so I was talking to Greg about this earlier in the show. I am not a morning person, so being up and live on the radio in the 6 o'clock hour is not exactly my comfort zone. So, but I'm trying something new, and we're recombobulating, and we're making it work. But are you also challenged in the morning, challenged like I am?
Historically, I have been extremely challenged in the morning, although, you know, becoming a parent changes you. I'm able to function very early in the morning, but I wouldn't say I'm like, you know, running full steam ahead until the sun comes up, at least, you know.
No,
but the sun is up,
so. Right, as a parent, my kids have forced me to be more of a morning person, but it's just like, it's different, like being live on the radio than it is just like pouring a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios, you know? So
totally. The words have to word, you know?
Yeah,
you gotta
exactly.
String those sentences together.
Exactly. And I'm occasionally doing that today as your guest host on Civic Media Morning. So Kate, you're up to all sorts of stuff these days. You
oh my
seem
gosh.
Extraordinarily busy. So tell me what you've been working on lately.
Well, just, you know, trying to make sense of the news coming at us, both, you know, from the Capitol here in Madison and Washington, D.C. for our community every day. And, you know, every day is a new adventure. So trying to keep people updated on that. And then, you know, from a things we're pushing perspective, been pushing really hard on the postpartum Medicaid extension. From a Wisconsin perspective that, you know, has enough co-sponsors to pass and has now for several years and is being blocked by our assembly speaker. What else is going on there?
Well, let's talk about that one for a minute, because I think that we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about another issue that's been in the news relating to parenting, I guess. But the issue of the Medicaid expansion for new moms. So Wisconsin is about to become the only state, really, literally the only state has not expanded Medicaid for new moms. And as Emily Cephalus wrote in a piece at the Recombobulation Area just a couple weeks ago, 40% of new births in Wisconsin are with people who are on Medicaid. So this really affects a tremendous amount of people. And there's a bill in the state legislature, in the state Senate. I believe it has pretty overwhelming bipartisan support. You spoke at one of the committee hearings for that bill in the state Senate, did you not?
I did. Yeah, it has, I would say, unprecedented bipartisan support
for Wisconsin,
especially for our legislature. And yeah, so it was in the Senate Committee on Health 2 weeks ago, and I did go and testify, which was a really interesting experience for me, because there were like groups and lobbyists there, and everybody spoke in favor of it. And I, like, it was not only like physicians and people from the insurance industry, it was also people like from a Catholic Association, from pro-life associations, like everybody across the political spectrum. It was really actually interesting for me to see in person all this support, everybody behind one thing, because we just don't see that very often these days.
Really don't.
And even speaking in front of the committee, the majority of them are Republicans, and they were very kind and receptive and verbally supportive as well, which also was just like interesting for me to see. They were great and very supportive of it. And it actually last week they voted unanimously to pass it out of the health committee. So it is going to continue to move forward through the Senate. And we still just can't even get a hearing on it in the committee in the assembly.
And it has bipartisan support in the assembly in addition to the Senate as well. And I think it's important to recognize that, like, even if you have a bill that's going to pass the Senate, even if you have a bill that's going to have bipartisan support, it is up to leadership to decide whether that bill makes it to a vote or not. And the leader in the assembly is one Robin Voss, and he's pretty dug in on this issue, this and many other issues. But he's very dug in on this, and he is extraordinarily opposed to even having a conversation about this. That's part of what really bothers me sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, you go back to like the gavel in, gavel outs that Robin Voss would have as assembly speaker with Tony Evers and things like that. It's not even that he opposes it. It's just that he doesn't even want to have the conversation sometimes, right?
Yeah, he doesn't want to allow people to speak on it. Even, you know, my representative is a Republican, and I've called his office, and he's very in support of it. You know, so he's not even letting these representatives represent the people, their constituents, in the assembly on the floor. He's not even letting anybody talk about it, which is just not obviously how things are supposed to work. And it's really frustrating. And women are dying. You know, there's one thing to be opposed to, like, continued access to Medicaid, which is something I don't understand, but I can see why Republicans and fiscal conservatives are opposed to it. But like, this has been adopted in 48 states, like Texas. Mm-hmm.
And
Florida.
It's going to be the next state to adopt it is going to be those woke libs in Arkansas with Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who just said at a press conference that she'd be supporting this in their state. Yeah.
I mean, if we're behind Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like if we can't even get on the same page as her about something, then I don't know what's going to change his mind.
Yeah, it's a
unless
tough one.
Everybody wants to call his office. Who's listening and tell him to bring it, to push it forward.
Interesting. You have been rallying people to call his office, and we're going to be talking about that. And it seems like the Republicans might want to focus on something else when it comes to parenting, I guess, to a certain extent. And we'll talk about that a little bit right after the break here. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm your guest host, Dan Schaefer. We're joined by Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Even though Brazil and Argentina are continents away, their crop production this time of year matters in the marketplace for farmers here at home. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Along with you on a Tuesday, Jacob Burks joins us. He's a partner at AgMarket.net based in Lancaster. He gives us an update on the South American crop.
Yeah, I mean, right now you got to look at, we have the cheapest corn available. Okay, so we are the export market domestically for corn now. But as they're rapidly going through harvest in Brazil, in the northern part of Brazil, they've had rainy season. It's delayed their harvest a little bit. And after they harvest that first crop, then they come right back with the Safrinha corn crop. And so you'll see the pictures. You've seen them all over the internet where the combine's drilling through harvesting soybeans and the corn planter's right behind. And that's happening right now. So that availability of corn will be coming to the market, you know, pretty quick. At the end of March, we'll start seeing some of that competition for our corn.
And there you have it. Even though our grain competitors are on a different continent, their production matters here at home. Jacob Burks joining us. He's a partner at AgMarket.net. He's based out of Lancaster, but works with producers around the nation. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's
BioVet.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're dedicated to keeping you up to date on all things Wisconsin agriculture, and we're keeping an eye on the stories you like best. In case you missed it, here are some of our top downloaded stories from the past week. At number 3, we sit down with the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. They're nearing their 60th anniversary. At number 2, the Sun Prairie FFA chapter gets a unique experience advocating for ag education at the state capitol. And our most downloaded story congratulates Evan and Taylor Schroth of Fond du Lac for receiving the Groundbreaker Award from Compeer Financial. You can find all of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com on our podcast page. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 44. Chance of rain and snow tonight, a low of 33. Rain likely on your Wednesday with highs in the mid-40s. For Wednesday night, slight chance of rain and a low near 32. Thursday, partly sunny, 41. 44 and breezy Friday.
Right now, 35.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You can join the conversation by giving us a call, shooting us a text at 855-752-4842. The Wisconsin Badgers continue Big Ten Conference play this evening, hosting the Washington Huskies tonight in Madison. You can listen to the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball season all season long on several Civic Media stations, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, and on WLAK in Amory. Or on the Civic Media app. Greg, I was waiting for you there on the Amory drop.
Amory.
Oh, there it is. I don't get to be a part of those as much when I'm guesting with you guys on Matt and Air on Air. So I really wanted to set you up there. But we got it. We're recombobulating.
Dan, you're always with us.
That's good. We're joined here in this segment by Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good. Kate, thank you again for joining us here on Civic Media Mornings.
Of course. Happy to be here. Good morning, everyone.
And so one of the things that we wanted to talk about on the show today, and I was going to talk about this with Dr. Kristen Lierley because she is a doctor and has expertise in this field, but there is this kind of outsized controversy that is broiling on the interwebs when it comes to a certain language from Tony Evers' proposed budget. So there's a couple things here that I want to kind of walk through with you, Kate, as we get into this issue. So I saw the news on Friday come through, and I'm going to read the Journal Sentinel headline for this is Republican group criticizes Governor Tony Evers after woman changed in bill to, quote, inseminated person. And I was like, all right, what is this? Who is even asking for this? What's going on here? Because I obviously am a left of center person. I'm okay with changing having conversations about being have more inclusive language, but some of it can be a little bit irritating from time to time. And so my initial reaction was like, okay, what even is going on here? Who is even asking for this? And then I read the bill, and it's pretty much just clarifying language in a portion of state statutes regarding artificial insemination and other fertility treatments like IVF that says if a lesbian couple has a baby by IVF, they're not both pregnant, but are both mothers. And there's also some other factors here that applies to other legal things that create a legal uncertainty for people who might not be married or are same sex couples or are, single parents looking to, for fertility treatments or IVF or surrogacy or what have you. So, Kate, when you heard this, what was your initial reaction, and what have you been thinking about this as it's continued to unfold?
Well, I think it's important to note just how you explained it. You saw the article and you're like, okay, what's going on? I think that's a great lesson for everybody these days with like, that is your misinformation radar, right? If you read something and it like seems so outrageous that you're like, what is going on here? That's usually a good sign to like look into it further and not just like share immediately that like you're outraged at that. Because I had the same reaction. I'm like, what's going on? And I looked it up and, they were talking about it as like he put this bill like to change mother to inseminated person. And I'm like
as an across the board type thing. That's the way I think Republicans are seemingly characterizing this as if it's some sort of like across the board change that we don't use the word woman in Wisconsin anymore, which is it's just a very specific statute that has to do with fertility treatments pretty much.
Yeah. And so I like you, I pulled up the bill. It is a bill that is 1,917 pages long, right? And they are talking about one paragraph. And I'm looking, once you start reading it and you read the text kind of leading up to it, and I'm not even a lawyer, and some of it is like a little bit confusing, but it's clear that they are talking about fertility treatments and artificial insemination and paternity rights. And he's just changing the language because there's many different scenarios now of when you have kids, and it's trying to clarify, you know, paternity of children for the courts. So there's more like legal clarification there. I mean, husband is also crossed out and it says spouse. So I think they're just trying to make it so it just reaches a broader audience. Cause yeah, there's same sex couples that have babies. There's IVF. People can have babies alone, with sperm donors. There's a variety of ways. And so, you know, they've taken something that fits their narrative and they've run with it. And while what they're saying is true, there's so much other context and nuance that really adds to it. And it's just taken off like wildfire. It's all over the internet. I follow a lot of like conservative women influencers too. And they have also picked it up and are talking about it and are outraged. And, you know, I understand what he was doing for sure, but also we all understand the current climate, right? And we know the games that are played. We know what's going to happen. Would it have killed him or the team who helped do this to just write mother and inseminated person? You know, just like that crossing out of the word mother is, he didn't mean anything by it, but of course it got picked up that way.
Yeah. And, you know, the same section also crosses out the word husband and replaces it with spouse. So it's just kind of this larger effort to have, I guess, more gender neutral terms or more inclusive terminology to. And again, I think there's a fair argument to be made that there are better ways to incorporate these changes in the legalese of state statutes than to go with, you know, some sort of general neutral terminology across the board. But also, I'm getting the sense that that's not really what this is about, right? This isn't really about the terminology that, you know, how best to characterize things to reflect the reality of same-sex parents or people who are not married and having kids and whatever. I'm getting the sense that that's not actually what this is about. And what this is actually about is the right glomming on to some sort of thing that can appear as just like, oh, we're just gonna go after the woke libs on this one, and I don't really think it is an issue that it's, I really don't think this is a very big deal, but the conservatives are going to make a big deal. They're already, you know, some of the people advertising in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race have already cut ads on about this since last Friday, when this was, you know, kind of broke as a story late Friday afternoon. So again, it is, and it makes me think of this issue that when I was reporting a story last year, I was talking to Gordon Hintz, who's now running for for Winnebago County Executive, former minority leader in the state of Wisconsin, Democratic minority leader. And he said, you know, he was talking about something else relating to the campaign. And he had this line that stuck with me where it's just like, it's your classic Democratic issue, or as if it takes three sentences to explain, you've already lost. And that just kind of feels like what this is, where it's just like, even if Evers is going to push back, and we saw that he was at a press event in Green Bay yesterday, and he talked about how he was PO'd. You know, that's a lower level on the Evers anger scale than what we can sometimes get. You know, it's if you're taking the three sentences to explain this, you're kind of already losing. And that's the frustration with these types of misinformation campaigns that Republicans will throw at you here with things like this.
Yeah, I mean, perception is everything, right? Yeah. We've certainly learned that. It's not really what is fully true, but it's what people believe to be true. And the fact that they've gotten everybody talking about this now, people are going to think that Evers doesn't really support using the words women or mother, which is just crazy. You know, I was looking into it. He says it all the time, you know, and he was just talking about moms at the budget. And, you know, all of this fake outrage over this, I'm like, okay, but Evers is actually really trying to protect mothers in Wisconsin by passing this Medicaid expansion because women are dying. But of course that's not what we're talking about, because there's more nuance and explanation necessary there. I looked at the bill and like searched the word mother. It's in the bill plenty of other times.
Yeah.
But yeah, they took it and ran with it. I am surprised that Schimmel, responded right away, playing into the whole culture wars of it all. And he's like, a woman is a woman and a man is a man. I don't even think Evers was trying to just like be more gender inclusive here for people's feelings. I think he was literally doing it to make things easier in family court.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. If I was like advising Susan Crawford's campaign, which I'm not, and I know they've asked her for a statement on this, and she probably shouldn't respond because it's not really worth it. But I'm like, the fact that her opponent, who's trying to be on the Supreme Court, immediately played into this and couldn't, like, he's supposed to be a lawyer, right? He couldn't see that that was probably, there was more to the story. I think that is telling of him.
Yeah. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm your guest host today. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the political editor here at Civic Media, as well as the founder of the weekly opinion column and online publication called The Recombobulation Era. Hey, go subscribe to that one while you're here. And also, we are joined by Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good. And you should subscribe to her Substack as well, because Motherhood for Good is also on Substack now, which is, I was excited to see. And now I'm always excited to see it when it hits my inbox.
Trying to be more regular about that one. So yes, definitely subscribe.
Reaching people where they are, right?
Yeah.
So we were talking about this whole ridiculous drummed up controversy about the budget language regarding inseminated person versus woman. It's the right is making it seem like there is some sort of across the board change that is happening. Nope, it's not what's happening. It's a specific statute that has to do with fertility treatments. I was excited to have Kristen Lierley join to talk about this and offer some of her expertise on the issue. And she was unfortunately unable to make it today because she got called away to an emergency C-section. So good luck. I hope everything is going well there. But one of the things that she sent me in the notes on this is that just talking about how this budget updates some archaic husband and wife terminology. And she was telling me that because this is a legal document, the old terms are outdated and don't allow for unmarried or same-sex couples to, you know, use some of these fertility treatments or use IVF or, you know, have some sort of situation going forward. And she also mentioned that, ironically, Elon Musk has 13 kids with at least four women, some of whom are surrogates, all IVF, maybe some out of wedlock. So, you know, if Elon Musk, I know he's weighing in on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race in a big way. You know, maybe if he wants to move to Wisconsin, these changes would be, you know, suited to what he's got going on in his own life, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, good point. You know, party of family values. I think he's trying to move the needle on family values to be like just procreate as many children as you can.
Yeah.
You know, however you want. So yeah, he should like this language.
Yeah. Well, so look, if we are going to be a pro family state, and I think you and I both as parents, we've talked about this in the past, we want policies in the state of Wisconsin to be better for families. Freaking out about language in a bill like this is not going to help families. What is going to help families is the type of advocacy work that you're working on about extending health care for new moms, something that every state but Wisconsin is going to have this on the books by the end of the year. Even that woke lib in Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, is okay with moving this forward, but Robin Voss is not. So are we really going to be a pro-family state? Are we going to take care of new parents? Are we going to take care of, are we going to allow more people to access IVF, to access fertility treatments? Are we going to be a pro-family state or not? Or are we going to get bogged down in nonsense? What do you think, Kate?
I would love to be a pro-family state, and I know Tony Evers would love to be a pro-family state, and many people, Republicans and Democrats. You know, and I was looking back, he's been talking about this, you know, postpartum Medicaid extension since 2019. Mm-hmm. I was looking into it, and Governor Evers is always pushing for legislation that is going to help moms and families and women. And to just take this little nugget out of this bill and say that he's trying to erase women and mothers is obscene.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good, thank you so much for joining us here on Civic Media Mornings. Where can we find your work at Motherhood for Good?
Mostly on Instagram or Facebook at Motherhood for Good. You can find us on our website, motherhoodforgood.com, Substack, you know, all the places. I'm trying for Blue Sky, but you can find us everywhere.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on Civic Media Mornings. We've got one more segment to go after this one. Greg Bach, we're almost done. It's almost time for the sun to come up and everything else. Well, we've been doing this in the middle of the night, right? All right. Well, thanks again, Kate. And we will be right back.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Every story matters. And the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, and so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey, and I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. I'm your guest host today. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you to Greg Bach for keeping us all recombobulated here on the board. I will add that word in any conversation at any in any opportunity.
Oh, I know. It's called branding.
It's
baby.
Called branding, baby. And we are joined for one more segment here before I pass things off. To the next host today, we are joined by Chad Holmes, the host of the Chad Holmes Show. Chad, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be with you, Dan.
And you're going to be hosting Civic Media Mornings tomorrow, I understand.
That is so early.
I know it is so early. Greg does it every day. We were talking at the beginning of the show. This is just. It's too early for people. I'm not a morning person. I don't know if you are, Chad. Obviously, you host the show on weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. In Wausau, but 6 a.m. is another beast.
I've done this in the past. I've been in this business a long time, and probably about 25 years ago, I worked in Stevens Point, and I did the morning show. But back then, we had this little satellite dish that was on the roof of our station. And during these months of the year, often I would have to go up there at 4:30 in the morning and clean off the snow, because otherwise there'd be a lot of static on the programming. And I do not like being up early, but the thing I hate even more is trying to climb up a ladder. And at 4:30 in the morning, when it's about 10 below zero, and then the ladder itself would never get quite up to the edge of the building. So at the end, I have to go to kind of throw my body on top of it. And then I would clean off the dish. And then the hardest part was I would stand there for 10 minutes looking at the ladder and thinking, how am I going to get back on that ladder and get down?
Yeah.
So at least I don't have to do that tomorrow morning. But I barely get here in time for the 8 o'clock show. So we'll see how we can do it tomorrow morning. But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
Chad might be sleeping in the studio tonight.
You know, I thought about it. I thought about sleeping here and just waking it. Would
no,
not have worked.
I don't think it would have been good for you, buddy. I think you would have. No,
would not have been good.
No.
Chad, what do you got planned for your show today and for tomorrow?
Oh, man. Well, Greg, be ready. I'll be sending you some information about tomorrow's show. But actually, tomorrow on this program, so, you know, I feel more pressure sitting in for the great Pat Kreitlow than I do even my own show. But tomorrow morning, I got two segments that I want to kind of loosen it up. And I don't know about you guys. The last 5 weeks have been just incredibly stressful. And from time to time, you want to try to step away from it. I know we'll have plenty of time to talk about what's going on in terms of the political world, both within here, here in Wausau. We got a mayor that is continuing to say he did nothing wrong when it came to the removal of the drop box. That story is continuing, which I'll be discussing a little bit here this morning, because there's still some machinations going on within the ethics committee here in the city of Wausau. But tomorrow, actually, I got a really nice little segment that we'll have tomorrow. I'm going to be bringing in this afternoon, because they're heading down to Madison, four girls wrestlers from Wausau West who are going to the state tournament this weekend.
Excellent.
And it's a really fast growing sport here in the state of Wisconsin, and four really incredible young ladies will be sitting around this table later this afternoon, going to record something up that we will have tomorrow morning. And then also we'll have Jimmy Cuska come on, and because tonight, and actually these are some of my favorite weeks of the year, because winter high school sports are going on tonight. I've got a sectional semifinal hockey game. I'm just glad it's not a road game, or else I'd be getting home really, really late tonight and really, really ornery tomorrow morning. So at least it's here in Wausau, but it's a very exciting time with sectional hockey and girls basketball playoffs going underway and boys basketball brackets. Also, we'll have Jimmy Cuska on with us tomorrow as well. And in addition, we'll talk about all the other interesting things going on around the area, state, and the world.
I'm just hoping for spicy chat, because there's nothing I love more in the morning than spicy Chad Holmes.
You think I'm spicy at 7:50 in the morning? Wait till you see me just after 6 o'clock. I'm not telling you any lies here.
It's like bringing some extra spice. We got the five alarm chili version of the Chad Holmes show happening on Civic Media Mornings tomorrow.
Depending on how long the game goes tonight and how well I sleep tonight, I could be ornery in the morning. But I'm going to do my best to be really, really as pleasant as the opening theme music to the program is.
Tony in the live stream wants unfiltered Chad.
There you go. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun with Greg. And one day for the 6 o'clock show, I think I can do it.
That's exactly what I said. I'll help Mr. Kreitlow out I'll do one day. And looks like we've survived here, Greg Bach.
You've done a great job, Dan. Seriously. Good job, buddy. This is good stuff. We've had a fun time. I've had fun too.
Good. I got a little bit out of my comfort zone. I'm more comfortable as a night owl, but I can now say that I have hosted a morning show.
Yes, you have.
In the middle of the night here from 6 to 8 a.m.
Just don't ever say it in front of radio people. Be like, I hosted it once. Oh,
yeah.
Adorable.
Anyway, so thank you to everyone who has joined us for Civic Media Mornings today. Thank you to our guests who have joined us as well. Dan Hagen, Kate Duffy, and Chad Holmes, who you can hear right up next in WXCO as host of the Chad Holmes Show and guest hosting tomorrow morning as well. Thank you all once again for joining us. And a special thanks to my coworker, Mr. Greg Bach.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy.
All right. Stay tuned. The Earl Ingram Show is next. You are listening to Civic Media. Just another way of passing the day.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers is back for a Tuesday Tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trigvi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A reprieve for government workers who are on orders from Elon Musk to come up with a list of last week's accomplishments by midnight or lose their jobs. CBS's Weijia Jiang at the White House.
With just hours to go, Musk backtracked, telling staffers they now have more time. His moves are not only causing confusion, but anger.
3 years after Russia invaded Ukraine, the U.S. voted on a U.N. resolution to take a neutral stance on the war. It voted against others, blaming Moscow for starting it. U.S. Deputy Ambassador Dorothy Shea.
This resolution puts us on the path to peace. It is a first step, but a crucial one.
Pope Francis remains in critical condition, but was well enough to meet with Vatican officials today to approve new decrees for saints. The 88-year-old's chances of recovery? CBS News chief medical correspondent, Dr. John LaPook.
It depends what you mean by recover. I mean, he has underlying lung problems that he will have for the rest of his life.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.